This program was produced by and first broadcast on Radio Hawke's Bay, a community access media station. Thank you to New Zealand On Air for making this type of programming possible. This program was produced by and first broadcast on Radio Hawke's Bay, a community access media station. Thank you to New Zealand On Air for making this type of programming possible.
We would, I'll probably likely describe, not just this week, probably any week of our lives as a bit of a roller coaster of circumstances and emotions brought on by the stresses of life. It's pretty universal. But we can often make the mistake, I think, of believing that we're nothing more than branches being blown by the wind, insecure. But that's not true. For the Christian, and we have to remind ourselves of this, that is the wrong mindset. The mindset that is available to us is to remember that while, we face circumstances and in a sense we're blown around, we have to take our focus off of the circumstances and off of the limbs being blown around and focus on the roots and who is our roots, because they don't move. And that's something that's very important for us. And we're going to be looking at that today as we look again at our foundation and our focus. As we begin, I'll ask us a question, and I would like a show of hands here because I'm going to respond to. How many of us would say that we would like to have a closer relationship with Jesus Christ? Yeah, I think that would be all of us. But let's look in the scripture today and see if we can find that. Let's open in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, as we look into your word today, we know that is your desire. Your entire reason for creating us was for your honor and glory and to have a relationship with us. So we know that you're ready. Maybe we're the ones holding the process up. Today, as we look into your word, Father, I pray that you'd help us to help us to get what your word is saying to us, that we would take these truths and we would allow them to be applied to our hearts and lives. We pray all this in Christ's name. Amen. If you found your place there in Ephesians chapter 3, we're going to read, starting in verse 15, we're going to be reading, as you'll probably remember, a prayer. This is the prayer that the Apostle Paul was praying for the believers in Ephesus, and I believe really for Christians of all ages. So verse 14 says, "For this reason I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth is named, that according to the riches of his glory, he may grant you to be strengthened with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted," there's our word, "and grounded in love, may have strength to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God." Over the past 2 weeks, we've been studying, in our study of Ephesians, we've been studying this prayer in the book of Ephesians that the Apostle Paul has prayed. And what we've been looking at are three, because this is what the Apostle Paul is praying, he was praying this for the Ephesian Christians, for us, three essential attitudes or three essential mindsets that we need within us, keeping our focus on the roots rather than our branches waving around. And the first mindset we looked at, as you see on the screen, was we must walk in the power of the Holy Spirit. We've been learning what that means. One thing we saw last week was that it's very easy and also very common for us, instead of walking in the power of the Holy Spirit and having our focus on Jesus Christ, we come up with a list, right? As you see on the screen, a list of these do's and these don'ts. And what we look at, we would look back over the past week and say, okay, well, did I have a successful week? Well, did I tick off the things right here on the list? Or was I close to Jesus Christ? And that's not right, as you see. That's not right. You say, it's okay to do those things? No, that's not what I'm saying. And we shouldn't be doing the other things? No, that's not what I'm saying. I'm saying is we don't live by lists. That's being under the law. And that's never going to work. It's never going to work. We live based on what? A relationship with Jesus Christ. The next verse, as you see on the screen, Galatians 5:18 says, "But if you are led by the Spirit, you're not under the law." In other words, you're not under a list of rules. It doesn't matter who makes the rules up. You can make them up. Your pastor can make them up, and they may be good things to do, but we can't live by a list of rules because we can't live by it. We can't do that. And if that's all we're living by, we are going to fail. Ticking off the list doesn't work. What does work? Well, hopefully by now you can probably answer this question. Keeping our eyes on Jesus Christ. Walking step by step with the Spirit. Moment by moment. Who's my focus on? What's my focus on? Is it on my problem, my issues, this or that? Or is it on Jesus Christ? It's that nugget of truth, you know, we talk about being in God's Word each day. I'm going to read a quote from Stormy Martian. It was in her book, Just Enough Light for the Step I'm On. And I think this will help us a lot. She said, when both of my children learned to walk, they didn't get very far without falling. They fared much better if they reached up and took my hand or their father's hand. We were able to guide them away from danger and get them safely where they needed to go. But sometimes they quickly headed off without our help. My son would end up falling down and hurting himself, or my daughter would wander off to some place she wasn't supposed to go and get into trouble. Occasionally, we allowed those things to happen because we wanted them to eventually learn to walk without our assistance. Of course, we did step in and protect them when we saw danger, but our goal was always to prepare them for the day when they would no longer need our help, and we thrilled when we saw them experience the joy of freedom for the first time. Now, notice what she goes on to say. Learning to walk with our Heavenly Father is somewhat different. He wants us to reach up and take His hand, but He doesn't want us to ever let go. You see the difference? In fact, His desire is that we become more and more dependent upon Him for every step, to heights we can't even imagine. In order to do that, we have to go through valleys, treacherous mountains, rough terrain, and narrow paths of life, places where we could easily get lost or off the track. And there is definitely no way we can just head off on our own and expect to arrive safely in the place He has planned for us. And quite opposite the way we teach our children, we will never know the joy or freedom until we understand we cannot take a single step without His help. Isn't that good? I mean, everybody knows what this picture is. Who's this with Jesus there? Peter. What happened? Peter steps out. He's walking in the water. And then why did he start to sink? Because what happened? He took his off of Jesus onto the circumstances, right? What a beautiful picture for us. That defined your week last week. Not necessarily ticking the boxes. What defined my week last week and yours was how well we kept our eyes on Jesus Christ. Look at this next verse we looked at last week. Galatians 5:16. But I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. And that's our struggle. You know, what we know we should do, struggling against our flesh. Where do we get victory? By trying harder? No, by focusing more on Jesus Christ. Another verse, Galatians 5:25. If we live by the Spirit, let us also keep in step with the Spirit. That's that idea of just walking step by step by step with Him. You think about that. If we did that, the rest of this week, each step we were certain we were walking where the Spirit would walk, that's a good week, right? That's a good week because it's not us, it's Him. And so, you know, if you think about that, if we are walking with the Spirit, if we're keeping step with Him, then we will be ticking off the right boxes, right? Because, I mean, can you imagine walking with the Spirit and doing the wrong things? It just won't happen. And so that is our walk. But we can, and you can, I can this week, we can settle for the imposter of that, which is what? Living under the law. We can think, I'll tick my boxes, and you know, if I don't keep my focus on Jesus Christ, you can do that for a while. And on the outside, we can look like we've got it, but it won't last. We will fail, and in the end, it will be disaster. And here's one of the biggest things is we forfeit the closeness of that relationship with Jesus Christ. That's what we forfeit in that process. Another great verse on the screen, two verses that I've kind of abbreviated. I hope by now you've memorized those. Blessed is the man whose delight is in the law of the Lord, and in His law he meditates day and night. That really sums it up well, doesn't it? Keeping it in our thoughts all during the day. You got to do something to help you keep that focus, whatever it is. We talk about so many ideas, you know, piece of paper in your pocket, on your computer screen, on your phone screen, if you do a lot of driving during the day, on the steering wheel, whatever it is, something so that you can remember that. Let's go to our verses again in Ephesians chapter 3. Look at them again. There's our first step. We must walk in the power of the Holy Spirit. Look again at verse 14. For this reason, I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth is named, that, according to the riches of his glory, here's where our power comes from, he may grant you to be strengthened with power through his Spirit, the Holy Spirit, in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. Now, this phrase here in verse 17, it's not another mindset. It's actually still a part of the first mindset. It's actually, you could call it a bonus, or it's a wonderful result of our walking step by step with the Holy Spirit. It's what? It says that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. So, catch this. Look at the next slide. Not only does walking in the power of the Holy Spirit help us to get our spiritual growth, okay, to get spiritual victory, to have our ability to honor God, inner peace and contentment, but it also is one of the greatest ways to grow closer to Jesus Christ, is that focus. Now, don't misunderstand that statement in verse 17. That doesn't say that Christ comes to dwell in us because of our walking with the Spirit. He came to dwell within us at the moment of salvation. Okay, every believer gets all of the Holy Spirit at the moment of salvation. What did Jesus say to the apostles, to the disciples, the apostles? They were freaking out. They finally get it. He's going, and they're panicking. He says, wait, guys. No, I'm sending the Comforter. He's going to be here with you. And what he was really, in essence, saying, it's going to be better because he will be with each of you constantly, 24/7. And so this is what's happening. So Jesus Christ is within us through the Spirit. And one of the greatest ways we can know that is by walking in the power of the Spirit. So do we want to be closer to Christ? We said we do. You see on the screen, that word dwell there, if you look again in verse 17, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, is an interesting word. English word dwell, it's actually a compound word in the Greek. It's katokeo, and it's putting two words together. As you say, kata, which means throughout, and okeo, which means to dwell. So you got what you've got if you study the New Testament. You'll find this, the word okeo, by itself. But then you find it with kata okeo. You see, the kata at the beginning, it adds a lot to the word to dwell. It means more than just dwelling somewhere. It means to settle down somewhere. Now catch this. We're talking about Jesus Christ within us. If you know Christ is your Savior, what I mean is if there's been a time in your life, you were living your life your own way, you learned of Jesus Christ, you came to believe in Him, you placed your faith in Him to take your sins away, to be your Savior and your Lord, then you got Him. He's yours. He's inside you right now. Okay? But He may only be dwelling there, not katakoeo. There's a difference. He may be there, but He's not comfortable there. You know what I'm saying? He's not at home there. And the great, if you just think with me, the beautiful opportunity that we have as Christians in growing is that Christ can not only be in us, He can be comfortable in us. He can be in a place where He feels welcome. I mean, you think about it. This past week, there were times in my life that I'm sad to say He probably didn't feel too welcome there because of my attitude, because of my thoughts. But we have that goal to help Him to feel at home within us. And you see, as that happens, not only is He more at home, we're in a better place because there's a connection between us that we so desperately need when He feels at home there. So there's a question for us. Once again, we can look back at last week. We can look at our list. Okay, how close was I to God? Tick the boxes. Or we can say this way. How comfortable was Jesus within me last week? I think it's a better way to answer the question, isn't it? And it really cuts to the whole thing of it. Does He feel comfortable within us? And we know what that's like. You know, we've been in homes at times and we felt comfortable in times when we didn't. I know Beverly and I experienced this a lot over there. Before we came to New Zealand 30-some years ago, to build our ministry team, we spoke in 100, and I think it was 25 different churches. We presented our ministry there. We traveled a lot. And so we were in different homes. Sometimes they would put us in a motel. Sometimes we'd be in a home of somebody. And almost without exception, we felt so welcome there. And during that time, there's always the first awkwardness, isn't it? Because you don't know them. They don't know you're in their home. But
But they were brothers and sisters in Christ. And many of those people are friends, have been our friends for 30-some years now because of that. There was one occasion, though, that stands out. And Beverly's not in here, but she would know immediately what I'm thinking about because it was so rare. But there was one family that we stayed with, and we did not feel welcome. I don't know what was going on in their lives, but man, we felt like we weren't wanted there. And I felt like we couldn't do anything right. And it was all, do this, do this, don't do that. And it was just not nice at all. We did not feel welcome there at all. So to the point where we were about 5 hours away from home at that church, but we were welcome to stay there that night instead of driving home that night. But we drove home that night because we just weren't welcome there. You know, it was very, very obvious. And what makes me sad, and I'm sure it does you too, is to think how often the Holy Spirit, how often Jesus Christ feels that way inside me. You know, he's there. He's not going anywhere. He's committed. He's in it for the long run. He showed you that, right? He died for us. And yet, you know, the vibes I get him are kind of like, I don't even want you here. Isn't that horrible? And folks, I really believe that, you know, compared to living under the law, to ticking off the box of things, that these are the kind of questions we want to ask ourselves. You know, we could look at our church ministry. Are we where we need to be right now? No, we're not. I could growl you and all that kind of stuff, and somebody might step in and do stuff because of that, but you know what? That's not anything, because you're going to quit. What happens in our lives when a church, when an individual gets this? When we are concerned about Jesus being comfortable inside of us and the kind of life which with he's comfortable, nobody has to ask that kind of Christian to get involved. Nobody has to. What they have to do is say, wait, okay, we'll find something for you to do. You see the difference? And that's what, you know, we want to catch. That's what we want to catch. I'm going to close. Well, I've got a few, are there any quotes in there? Okay, that's my fault. I must have added the old copy in there. I'm going to read a few quotes to you. These are short ones, so just follow with me. You can close your eyes and listen. These help explain it. It says, the result of this is that through faith, Christ may dwell in believers' hearts. That is, their whole personalities. It denotes the desire that Christ may literally be at home in, that is, at the very center of or deeply rooted in believers' lives. They are to let Christ, this is really good, they are to let Christ become the dominating factor in their attitudes and conduct. Wow, doesn't that help? Here's another quote. He indwells every Christian, and he does, but he is especially at home in the lives of those believers who let him be first in their attitudes and activities. As the believer keeps trusting and obeying, Jesus Christ can continue to occupy this place in his or her life. Paul was praying that his readers would enjoy intimate fellowship with their Lord. So you see how this happens, you know, with Christ coming in. And it's easy to get this, right? We know we're adults. Many of us are married, and if not, we have relationships with other people. We all know that no relationship is better without work. It just doesn't happen. It just simply does not happen, right? We have to work on it. And it's the same way with Jesus Christ, if you think about that. It's the same way with him. Remember, he's done all his work. He's done. He died for us, and he's right there. He never, ever goes away. You know, I've said this so many times, when we walk away from him, and we turn around and go back, we bump into him, because he's just right there, just like this the whole time. It's our part. It's our part. It's that desire to make him the center of our lives, to know him in that way. I want to close with a story told about a lady named Tammy, who was a new Christian. She went to a Bible study with other ladies, and one thing she found hard to get was how that they felt close to God and how they talked to God. And they talked about how God talked to them, and she never experienced that. So she did what I have been challenging us to do, and she got proactive about it, okay? She didn't just want to be closer to Jesus Christ. She did her part. And so what she did was she got an old wooden chair. And so every time she would be reading God's word, she would set the chair there next to her, and she would invite Jesus to sit in the chair. Okay? And then as she would read God's word, and she would find something that stood out to her, you know, those nuggets that we talk about, she would, with chalk, write them on the chair. She would write them on the chair. And it became her special Jesus chair. And she went on to say that that chair changed her life. Well, we know obviously the chair didn't, Jesus did, but it was the use of that chair. Now, you say, what am I saying? You're saying we all got to go buy a chair this week? I'm not saying that. I'm saying we got to do something. I'm saying we got to do something. If you're not doing something proactively to grow closer to Jesus Christ, I can tell you right now, you're not any closer to Him today than you were last year or last year. We've got to do our part. He's right there. And we've been praying here as a church for revival. And as we pray, and I hope you are joining us with that. And okay, what do you mean by revival? My best illustration is revival is like a fire. Now, you're out camping, you know, and you built a fire to stay warm, and you've been, you know, pottering around doing stuff, and you realize your fire is about gone. So what do? Well, you start blowing on it. You add kindling to it, and you revive the fire. Well, that's what happens in our life as Christians. The fire goes down, right? Maybe that's the case in your life. What do we do? Well, we need to blow on it. We need to renew that connection with Jesus Christ. So I hope you're praying for that. But as we pray for revival, I've heard this, I've been taught this my entire life. When you pray for revival, pray for it in yourself first of all. Right? That's where it's got to start. So you might say, well, so if I pray for revival, are we guaranteed we're going to have revival at BBC? No, but here's what we are guaranteed. We'll have revival within us. And that's where it starts. Let's close in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, it's beyond our comprehension how much you love us. Next week, we're going to see that in an incredible way in our study. But you do, Father. You do, and we not only need to accept that, we need to live each moment of each day based on that. Forgive us for failing you this past week and in many different ways. Father, we desire at this moment to place our focus on you. And I would urge you right now at this moment, yeah, you can make the decision tonight, but chances are you won't. Right now, in this quiet moment, I would urge us to deal with ourselves before our Father. And whatever needs to change, whatever step we need to make, why don't we make that commitment right now at this moment? Father, we marvel at your love. The scriptures teach us, and we know that we love you because you first loved us. Help us to literally bathe and bask in your love this week. And in doing that, deepen our relationship with you. Help us to be able to end this next week with the realization that we walked in your presence much more than the week before. Father, we pray all these things in Christ's name. Amen.
This program was produced by and first broadcast on Radio Hawke's Bay, a community access media station. Thank you to New Zealand On Air for making this type of programming possible.